Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. The defense won scrimmage number one for Purdue on Saturday per Jeff Fromm. What's that say about the defense? What's it say about the offense? We break all of that down on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charter's here with Tom Deanhart. We'll talk to Brian Ubert here in a couple of minutes as well. All right, Tom, Jeff Brom says that he was happy to see the defense perform well. I'm not sure he'll be saying the same thing exactly because he wants to see the offense perform well along with the defense here in a month. However, it's got to be at least a little bit of a positive that one of the biggest offseason goals for the Boilermakers seems to be doing at least okay here to start training camp.
Yeah, without a doubt. We all knew, Kyle, we've been talking for months about how critical it was going to be for that defense, that totally retooled defense, to really come together quickly and be effective this year. And like you said, Jeff Brom seemed pleased with that unit's play on Saturday after the scrimmage, the first of training camp. Again, Kyle, new scheme, focusing on aggressiveness. You got four new assistant coaches. You've got six transfers. On and on it goes with all the new moving parts on that side of the ball. And, again, to have that unit at least apparently perform well in scrimmage number one was a very good sign. They've got to make some strides. They've got to get more turnovers. They've got to get more pressure on quarterbacks. They've got to get off the field on third downs. We all know the to-do list for that defense, and so far so good it sounds like. But like you said, I guess now, Kyle, all our eyes swing toward the offense, and I guess it's hope for improvement here throughout the rest of training camp.
Yeah, not all that surprising that in the first scrimmage the defense would be better. I always think that, you know, the defense a little bit easier to early, just especially when you're not in pads those first few days. I think that hurts offensive linemen more than anything else. You're right, though. I mean, the things that Purdue needs to do defensively, and we, of course, worked there to see it, you know, all those specifics, but it's got to be able to be more aggressive, get after the quarterback, and then also create turnovers. That's what Purdue should be, right? I mean, just get after it, play aggressive, get some turnovers, try to get some extra possessions.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They need those extra possessions, so they're not going to probably win a lot of low-scoring games. I think this defense is still going to give up its share of yards and points. I think that's expected. But the key is to create more big plays than they give up. And to play their defense like Jeff Brom likes to play his offense, like I said off the top of this segment, was be aggressive, blitzes, stunts, stems, you name it. They're going to mix things up to try to confuse offenses into bad plays and, again hopefully turnovers. So, you're exactly right. They need a couple extra possessions per game, and hopefully the defense can get the ball back to its offense. And like you said, too, Kyle, hopefully that offense starts to make some strides here as they go deeper into camp. The offensive line has been a big concern. We knew that going into camp. I guess those fears have been realized. Injuries have really been the early storyline in camp for the offensive line. They got to get their starting five healthy together so they can develop some chemistry. And I guess, Kyle, the frightening thing about that front is there's just not a lot of depth, my friend. They got their starting five, and I think there's probably only two other linemen they would really feel comfortable playing an extended stretch if they had to. After that, you fall down to a lot of youth, a lot of potential, but just a lot of youth. And Kyle, this is where losing those linemen in the offseason really hurts. Guys like Mark Dickford and Will Bramble and Kyle Jornigan. And, you know, Sam Garvin's been out there, Kyle, who played center last year, and there's a thought that Garvin may not play again either. So losing veterans like that has really chipped away at the depth of that front.
Yeah, it's amazing we are where we are with the offensive line, considering what we thought it would be. I mean, we thought, if you were going to list what we thought Purdue's strength would be, maybe midsummer, wouldn't you have put wide receivers one and then probably the offensive line two? And now here we are, if you were going to list the top concerns for Purdue a month before the season starts, or heck, less than that, 3 weeks, wouldn't you probably put offensive line as the number one concern? It's just, it's remarkable the huge shift that we have seen there in the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think go back to January, the end of the 2020 season, if you will. I think the staff would have told you that this front coming up would have been the most depth they ever had on an offensive line. Not necessarily their best offensive line, but the most depth they've had. And like we talked about, that slowly but surely got chipped away in the offseason. And like you said, that line sort of went from being a potential strength to now being, I guess, something you wring your hands over. And, yeah, receiver looks strong. I think tight end's a heck of a strong position, too. And frankly, Kyle, most of the spots on offense I think you consider decent. I mean, they have experience at running back, they have experience at quarterback. And again, we talked about the tight ends and wide receivers. So there's plenty of skill there. I guess it's going to come down to, again, if they can all be protected and some type of a steady line can be constructed and kept together this year.
With those injuries on the offensive line, it sounds like the expectation is that none of them are going to be severely long-term, right? I mean, Gus Hartwig should be back at some point. Cam Craig, we know, is recovering from the injury last season and you know, should be able to get back out there at some point. So there is some hope, at least, that the five that they want to be together can be together maybe by September 4th.
Yeah, Dale Williams said as much when we spoke to him late last week that, yes, there are guys out up front, but he fully expected those guys who are out to be back. And just to refresh everybody, the projected starting offensive line, at least in my eyes and most people's eyes, is going left to right would be Greg Long at left tackle, Spencer Holstidge being your left guard, Gus Hartwig being the center, and then Tyler Witt, the Western Kentucky transfer, being your right guard. And I think Eric Miller is going to probably start out at right tackle. And Cam Craig is a swing guy, Kyle. He can play guard and tackle. And Dave Monet is another guy off the bench who can play tackle. So to my mind, those are your top seven guys.
Yeah. The quarterback question remains, though. You know, I know you guys asked Jeff Brahma after the scrimmage, sort of assessed those guys. He didn't say a whole lot. If you read between the lines, though, I do agree with you that it does sound like, you know, he has dropped in there at times the want to have that quarterback be able to run a little bit, or at least the quarterback position, whether that's, you know, Jack Plummer or maybe the third guy, Austin Burton, coming off the bench to do some things running. It does seem like, you know, he drops that in enough that you might read into that Purdue's leaning toward a quarterback that can run?
Without a doubt. I'm just like you. I mean, every time we seem like we talk to Jeff Brohm about that position, he mentions the need, if you will, to have a quarterback who can at least provide the threat of the run to help defenses respect that position and its ability to run the football. So I'm not saying if it is Jack Plummer, he's going to run the ball 10 times a game. But I think you see some design runs, and so defenses know that the quarterback is willing to take off and they can execute quarterback runs. And also just being able to extend plays in the pocket with his feet too. And Plummer's a leader. He's a smart kid. He can throw the ball very well. You know, Aiden O'Connell checks a lot of the boxes too. Of course, he won this job last year. Throws a little bit prettier of a spiral than Plummer, but, and the big but with Aiden O'Connell is always that he's just not athletic. He's slow, not fleet of foot. And going back to what you said about Jeff Brohm's comments about wanting that quarterback to contribute something to the ground game, it just sort of leads me to think that Plummer may have an edge in this thing. And it would be kind of fun to get a look at Austin Burton too, but I still think he's obviously still the number three man in this chase.
Yeah. All right, so of the practices that you watched here in the first week when it was open to the media and the public, anybody in particular stand out to you?
You know, Mershon Rice, there's a lot to like about that redshirt freshman receiver from Ohio, a four-star recruit. Fans may have forgotten about Mershon Rice because he was banged up his first 2 years. Hadn't even made a catch yet, I don't think. So he's a guy they've talked about. He's a guy on the outside, along with Brock Thompson, the transfer from Marshall, that it could be sort of two wide receivers that make their fair share of catches in addition to David Bell and Milton Wright. And, you know, defensively, I talked about O.C. Brothers a lot and the transfer from Auburn. Boy, Coach Brohm sort of really raved about him in the spring. And And the buzz around OC has continued in fall camp. He's not the biggest linebacker. They list him at 6'2", 220, but he looks like he's maybe about 6 feet tall. Almost looks like a strong safety, but he can run in practices, Kyle. Sometimes he's even out covering wide receivers. So he's the kind of a linebacker that's probably going to be able to stay on the field. Brad Lambert coached at Marshall last year, and he had a linebacker named Tavante Beckett, who was a 5'10", 225-pound undersized LB, who was the Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year, who's now with the Detroit Lions. That's a guy that Brad Lambert compares OC brothers to. Again, not the biggest backer, but a guy who can get after it, can run, and can tackle and hit.
It'd be nice to see Mershon Rice on the field a little bit. I know a couple years ago Purdue was pretty excited about him. It's hard to believe he's essentially now a third-year freshman, right? I mean,
yeah.
Who just hasn't seen the field. But they do like him, and they did stand out a couple of times in the practices I was at over the last week.
Yeah, big guy, big target, about 6'2". And, yeah, he was the class of 2019. Academically, he's a junior, so this is the start of his fifth semester in college, and still waiting to make an impact. T.J. Sheffield, too, I think in the slot. We saw glimpses last year of him as a return man, but I think they expect T.J. to be their main guy in the slot. Rondale Moore now gone. Keep your eye on him, too. So, and, again, it's going to be fascinating to watch the interior of the defensive line to see how that tackle spot sorts out. We know about Lawrence Johnson and Branson Dean, but are any of these youngsters or newcomers going to impact, like DeMarge Lewis from Indiana, like Prince Boyd, the junior college transfer? Will young Bryce Austin make an impact? How about Greg Hudgens Jr.? So it's going to be kind of neat to see how the depth that that defensive tackle works too, and maybe if they have any playmakers inside.
Yeah. All right, Tom, thank you. Brian's standing by. We'll get to him. We'll talk a little bit more football, a little bit of hoops as well. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text, 765-412-5217, or email kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. As we blitz into 2021, JF2 Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JF2 Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JF2 Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders and do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Brian. We'll talk a little bit of football, maybe delve into basketball as well with summer workouts having come and gone with the start of the semester now. Brian, Purdue got a little bit of a surprise from a transfer point of view last week when Samson James, who the last time we were all in Ross-Ade Stadium, we saw him run all over Purdue's defense, I think for 118 yards, but he decided to transfer from Indiana to Purdue. Now, he won't be eligible this year, right? If he will be, I'm not sure what the path to immediate eligibility is. They would obviously know that better than I would, and I don't know if anybody would say anything publicly about it, but he obviously entered the portal well after the deadline for immediate eligibility, so they would have to have some sort of waiver claim and the NCAA's committee that makes those decisions would have to be able to convene and be willing to hear their case. I don't know what that case would be, but I'm sure they have something in mind if they're going to pursue this. But
yeah,
my assumption since Friday when the news broke that he would be coming to Purdue would be that he'd have to sit this year. But, you know, things are very different with transfers nowadays. Had this been 5 years ago, you know, you would just write it off and say there's absolutely no way he's playing this year. But you never say never anymore with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either. It just seems like these days you can just, like, leave one practice, drive 2.5 hours north, and show up to another one in a different uniform and maybe play the next Saturday, but perhaps not quite that easy to do. Let's jump into – before we move on to basketball, I mean, regardless of that, it's a position that Purdue just needs bodies.
Well, I mean, it's a position they spent the offseason trying to add a player or two to, yes. I personally think that if you've got Xander Horvath and King DeRue healthy, you have much more pressing needs on your team than that. I think those guys are good enough to win with. I don't know if they're good enough to win because of, but I think they're good enough to win with. But the issue there, of course, is you have to keep those guys healthy. And I don't know – how ready, Jaquez Cross and guys like that, some of the younger guys, are to be able to contribute right away. But I personally think Xander Horvath and King DeRue are a pretty decent tandem. The issue is keeping them healthy. As I said before, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that Purdue is going to win games relying on Xander Horvath and King DeRue, but I think they're good enough to win with, and perhaps not to win because of. I'm not coming out here and saying these guys are Ohio State good or anything like that. I'm saying that I think you have much more urgent issues on your team than that position. But that being said, Purdue did spend the offseason looking for somebody to come in and help them there, so that suggests they would like another guy to come in and be available to them, if for no other reason but depth.
Yeah, I like both those guys, too, and I think you can win with them. I just questioned, being able to go through a 12-game season with only two running backs who have any experience at all, and not anticipating that one or both will get nicked up at some point. It just seems hard these days.
Yeah, correct.
All right, let's turn our attention a little bit of basketball. As you wrote last week in your post-summer roundup, a successful, I think, offseason for Purdue. Few are going to be unsuccessful, I think. But a little bit of a different offseason, too, in that Purdue had some guys out at times doing other things with, Team USA and et cetera. But, I mean, for a team with the expectation level that this one has, it seems like, from your talks with them, that they did accomplish a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does an unsuccessful offseason look like? It's hard to tell in the summer. I think there's a lot you can – I don't want to say take for granted, but I think there's a lot you can assume with this team because of the success they had right away last season, but also the natural expectation that guys with experience and guys with, chronological age will get better. And, I think it's important. Sorry, I just had a series of notifications on my phone for a second there. that was weird. I thought my phone was exploding. I think, obviously it's a big deal for every team in college basketball to have a normal offseason this year, but I think it's even more of a big deal for Purdue because when you had that many young guys coming in and you didn't have, the
practice time. You didn't have the togetherness time for them to learn complex systems, you know, for them to acclimate as effectively as you could to college basketball, for those guys to build relationships and chemistry with their teammates. It really, that really is the backdrop of the success they had last season, how surprising that was, because last offseason should have messed with the younger guys more than it messed with the veterans, because that is such a critical time for young guys coming in. The reality of it turned out to be that Purdue obviously overcame all of that. Now that you have it, now that you have that opportunity to find out what you're doing defensively, to really learn what you're doing defensively, to really learn your teammates and practice with them in a meaningful manner in the offseason, I think that can make a huge difference for this team. That being said, if these guys socialize more and it turns out they don't like each other very much, you know, perhaps that can go the other way. But I don't anticipate that happening. I think this is just a really important team-building offseason for Purdue. And the fact that they had those opportunities, as I said before, I think that matters more to this team than it does every other team in college basketball. And it matters to everyone quite a bit. I think that obviously this was an offseason where Purdue, you know, had a skeleton crew there for the first couple weeks with Zach Edey, Jaden Ivey, and Caleb First being off doing, you know, kind of more important things. Travion Williams, you know, being in the draft. I don't know if he actually missed any practices because of that. You know, Trey Kaufman-Wren had the finger injury when he first got to campus. Isaiah Thompson missed some time due to a knee injury, you know, things like that. It's not like you had your whole team out there every single day. And, you know, the summer gets really short when half your guys are only there half of the time. And I think maybe this team had 2 or 3 weeks tops in its entirety together. That being said, that's 2 or 3 more weeks than they had last offseason. So I'm not really sure where I'm going with all of this. I'm just basically using a lot of words to tell you the obvious that I think this can be a really beneficial offseason for Purdue and the sort of offseason where they can take an enormous jump.
One of the things that Purdue needed to work on and needs to be better at, obviously, and we've talked about it a lot, is shooting. I thought it was interesting, and I'm paraphrasing Brandon Newman, what he said there in your story. Just, you know, basically you can be a good shooter, but it's not like you don't have to work on it every day or a lot. And Purdue certainly did that a lot this offseason with the hope that, you know, those guys who are seemingly good shooters, and I feel like Purdue has a number of good shooters, can shoot the ball better this season than what they did last.
Yeah, you know, I think in that story you're mentioning, or that manifesto that was so long that you're mentioning, I outlined some reasons to believe that, you know, simply from a statistical perspective, you know, Purdue should be a better shooting team this year than they were last year, but they still have to prove it. You know, I think they're very capable. Yeah. You know, Matt Painter's made a tremendous investment in shooting, and I don't know if it necessarily paid off as much last year, but I think one thing that stands out about this team is they have guys who work like professionals. You know, I think Brandon Newman, you know, obviously puts a lot of himself into his game, specifically his shooting. I think Jaden Ivey puts all of himself into his game, specifically his shooting. And I think he will be better this year. I think last year he came a long way in terms of learning the difference between the right shot and the wrong shot and things like that. And I think so much of this team's success this year lies mentally. I shouldn't say their success. I think so much of the keys to their success lies mentally. You know, I think, you know, I don't think confidence is ever going to be an issue for Jaden Ivey, but, you know, sometimes when you have players that good and that talented, and, you know, Carson Edwards is a glaring example of this, a textbook example of this. Sometimes over-aggressiveness, over-eagerness can get the best of them sometimes, and I think that probably happened a little bit last year with Jaden Ivey as a shooter. I think Brandon Newman has always been a player who has been intent on showing people he is more than just a shooter, and I think sometimes maybe that gets a little bit the best of him, and I think, you know, a little bit of the wisdom that can come with experience maybe benefits him there to a certain extent. I think Ethan Morton, I don't know if he's going to be one of Purdue's primary shot makers or anything like that. I think confidence for him after, you know, his circumstances last season is a really big deal. I think Eric Hunter, I still really couldn't theorize why he didn't, you know, shoot a little bit better than he did last season, because he's obviously capable, as he showed as a sophomore. I think maybe he settles in with this group of players. He doesn't get hurt to start this season, which I think set his season off on a bad foot last year. I think he normalizes a little bit as a shooter and becomes something closer to what he was his sophomore year. I think there's just a lot of stuff here from a mental perspective that if Purdue just benefits from last season, benefits from experience, benefits from just being a year older, knowing how to play together a little bit better, I think they can make a big jump there as a 3-point shooting team, and they need to.
Yeah. Out of time. Thanks, Brian.
Yep. No problem.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. That's coming up next. This is Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs, with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Much more on the site about Purdue football and basketball. Visit goldandblack.com. We'll be back next Monday with this podcast again, dropping right here. Be sure to subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. All right, that'll do it for our program for today. A thanks to our sponsors. And for Tom Deanhart and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.